he said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, hello everyone out there in SNU land. It's He Said, She Said. It's June 2018. Life is good. It's spring. It's summer. It's wonderful. The birds are chirping, and it's a nice, beautiful, sunny day in Vernon today. So, Tracy, what's cooking?
What's cooking is Mexican-style stuffed peppers. I went to a potluck party, or as I should say, we went to a potluck Mexican-themed dinner party, and I opted to make the appetizer. This little yummy appy will be a staple for me when it comes to making appetizers. It was really delicious and really colorful. That was the beauty of it. As Mexico, when you go to Mexico, it's very, very colorful, lots of reds and greens and yellows. They were not only satisfying and delicious, they were also nutritious, and this is what we want to remember when we're eating something. We want to remember, not only tastes good and it fills me up, but is it beneficial for me? Is it nutritious? So you can make these out of ground turkey or ground chicken, ground lamb, ground beef, or vegetarian. You can add brown rice, you can add black beans, kidney beans, or you can add both beans and rice. You can add onion, carrot, celery chopped up, or not. You can add chili powder, cumin, or any other type of spice or Mexican style flavor that you love. So first off, what you want to do is you want to preheat the oven to 325. You want to get a large dish, a large baking dish. Okay, so what you want to do is get six colored peppers, orange, red, green, yellow, and you want to quarter them. So they're quartered. So one pepper you cut into four, and you make them look like little boats so that they can actually hold filling. And then you want to clean out the seeds so they're nice and clean. You want to place these in that large baking dish so that they've got lots of room in between. And now in a fry pan, what you want to do is saute your meat. You can use coconut oil if you like, or ghee, or an olive oil. You want to fry and saute the meat and the desired ingredients that you want to add, as I mentioned before. Then you want to fill the peppers with the mixture. Then you want to top the peppers with the filled peppers with a grated white jalapeno peppered cheese, or your favorite cheese, but the white cheese is quite nice. You want to bake this for approximately 20 to 25 minutes until the peppers have softened up. You let them cool. Then what you want to do is you can place them on a nice plate, and then on the side you can add chopped green onions. You can have a dish of sour cream and a dish of guacamole, and then there you have it. That's your appetizer, and it is filling, it is delightful, and it's delicious. Do you remember those, Corey, that I made?
Yeah, that's something that I quite enjoyed. I don't like having that kind of stuff with the typical bread or crackers as the portion that holds it. But you made it with the peppers, which from my point of view are quite edible and satisfying and don't have any of the downside factors associated with the typical things that people stuff whatever it is they're stuffing their stuff into.
Well, it was kind of like a nacho, but with stuffed peppers as the taco chip.
Yeah, no taco chips, no nachos. Yeah, I don't think those are useful to consume.
Yeah, so I don't know what you want to call them. You can call them Mexican boats or something like that, but they were really, really good. And you scoffed a few down yourself there, dear. I know you liked them.
That was with ground lamb, right?
I actually don't remember. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, I like the mixture. It's kind of like a chili stuffed into a pepper. You made little leaves, not the whole pepper. I mean, I could eat a whole pepper. I could just see that going inside a pepper and having a couple of those, and that'd be the whole meal, because it was very satisfying, low glycemic, nutrient dense, and great for sort of a party appy, like you said.
You can have one or two, and that just fills you up a little bit with along with the margaritas, you know. So it's always nice to have a little something to eat while you're having a cocktail. So, and that was very filling. So, you know, then you go on to your next course. But it looked so pretty, you know, when you put it on the plate and then you have the side condiments to go with it. So it was a real hit.
Good stuff. Okay. So moving on, who was last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Sifu Lamar M. Davis II. Wow. Sifu Lamar M. Davis II is the head instructor at Hardcore Jeet Kune Do Academy in Oneonta, Alabama, where he teaches group classes, monthly seminars, and training camps. Lamar started training in the martial arts at the age of 10, and 50 years later, he's now recognized as the founder of Hardcore Jeet Kune Do, which is his total approach to teaching Bruce Lee's method. Sifu Lamar Davis is the most highly ranked instructor of Bruce Lee's fighting methods in the entire world. He's a firm believer in proper nutrition and supplementation, and even developed his own nutrition program for students and practitioners called Become a Better You. Listening to his interview really makes me want to take up martial arts, Corey, and not just for the sake of taking martial arts, but the style that he teaches has scientific principles, and this is for self-defense, actual street smarts. It's not as a hobby. It's practical self-defense philosophy, right? And the beauty about what he does is he does it in street shoes. Like, you go to a lot of these martial art places and you have to take your shoes off. And as he said, you don't go looking for a fight. What you do is you need to be aware. You need to always look around you and be aware of your space. And when something happens, you want to try to diffuse the argument. You want to try to talk yourself out of it. Actual fighting is the last resort. You don't want to fight, but if it's the last resort, then you have the ammunition to do it. And when this happens, you don't have time to, like Billy Jack, to take your shoes off and then start the fight. So this is why he teaches in shoes. And I know that you agree with that, right, Corey?
Yeah, well, like he says, it's real world self-defense. And, you know, Lamar's a really nice person. If you watch his videos, he looks like a pretty tough guy, and he's got some pretty serious looking photographs on his website. But I guess that's, he's trying to attract a certain individual towards what he teaches out there. But his method is very direct. It's something that anyone can learn. And he's been doing it for a long time. But I guess it just connects to the Bruce Lee concept. I mean, what we're doing on this series of martial arts is just talking to different martial artists about their different techniques, because it's like athletes attracted in track and field. Okay, so let's think of track and field like martial arts. But in track and field, you've got all these different events. So in martial arts, you've got all these different styles, and they all agree or disagree with each other, and they promote one over the other, and it's the same in track and field. Like, you talk to a javelin thrower who says it's the best event in the world, and then you talk to a runner or high jumper, and they're really into what they're doing, but they're not into what the other guy is doing. So it's true in the martial arts as well.
Well, exactly. Anyway, what I thought the analogy that he used is, he says, Jeet Kune Do flows. Like water finds the smallest crack and will go through it, so you find the opening of your opponent that the opponent gives, and you move through it. I thought that was kind of cool. And then he says that he has people that come to his school, and he has to say, I'm sorry, I can't teach you, because they come in because they want to beat somebody up. Teach me how to beat somebody up. And he says, that's not what this whole thing is all about here. This is about self-defense and how to protect yourself, not going looking for a fight because you want to beat somebody up. So I really, really admire that. He picks his students and he says, not everyone gets in. It's not for everyone. So it's not about going out and trying to pick a fight with somebody. That's the last resort. That's what you have to remember. You don't want to fight, because even if you do, let's say, win the fight, you could still hurt yourself real bad.
Well, that's one of the reasons why you try and avoid fighting. It's not just because you're going to hurt somebody. Like, you might punch a guy in the head and defeat him, but you might break your knuckles or break your fingers.
Right,
or
right.
As a byproduct of what you do, you might break some ribs or something. So you don't want to hurt yourself. You don't want to hurt others. In many cases, I think that these martial artists, especially the mixed martial arts or the UFC, these guys are like deadly weapons, okay? I would bet that they get in a lot more fights than the average person. And they claim that they're not looking for it. I think that they tend to attract it, or maybe they are in situations where they want to subconsciously prove themselves. Or, you know, that's what I find about the martial arts at the higher level of intensity, rather than maintaining this aura of peace and love and kindness. There are a lot of people that carry within them this need to prove themselves, or, you know, they get into fights when maybe the average person wouldn't even be involved in such a deal, right?
Well, maybe if they were younger and drinking alcohol and doing drugs, because, you know, the young guys, maybe they're 20 or 25 or 30 years old, and they're drinking and partying it up, and then the fights would be attractive to them. But as they get older, I think they go, wow, we're standing back away from this, right? They get more mature and wiser. So I think it's the young guys mostly that look for the fights. But anyway, what Lamar has is his own line of equipment. And he also has books and instructional DVD videos. He does public speaking around the world, which helps supplement his income. So he just doesn't depend on his classes only. And you had mentioned that this is what you want your students to get involved with, because you can't be teaching day in and day out to pay the rent and to pay your mortgage. I mean, you need to do other things as well that help sustain your lifestyle. So yeah, he sounds like he's got it going on down there in Alabama. He says it's tremendous mental, physical benefits, and it promotes a clean, healthy lifestyle. That's what he does. He promotes no drinking, drugs, alcohol, bad food. If you want to be at the top of your game, you always have to be prepared. And if you're drinking, doing drugs, and eating crappy and over fat, how are you going to be able to protect yourself if you need to, when the time comes? So I like the way he talks, and I like his style. He also says the Patrick Swayze movie, Roadhouse.
Yes.
He says, the saying goes, be nice until it's time not to be nice, then you take out the trash. I thought that was funny.
For sure. That's a great movie too.
Yeah. So, you know, and he says, never give up on your dreams. He says, if you've got a dream, work for it. Doesn't mean it's just going to pop into your lap by you sitting around doing nothing. You've got to work for that dream, but dreams really do come true.
Yeah, he has worked really hard. He's been consistent. He started at a young age and fell in love with it, and then just took it to the next level decade by decade. You know, it just goes to show you what happens when you stick to it. What I like about all the martial arts is the fitness component. Like, you know, whether it's Michael, my son, in jiu-jitsu, you know, he goes and has a good 2-hour workout, gets a good sweat, and he comes out of it feeling refreshed and great and, you know, of course, depleted, as anybody would in a good workout, like going to the gym or going to the track. And in martial arts, you can kick, you can punch a bag, you can spar, and you can stretch. And there's a lot of health benefits associated with the training outside of the actual fighting component, which I'm sure that a large percentage of martial artists don't get into fights like they're portrayed on television or in movies, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lamar. We really appreciate your interview. It was fabulous.
Okay. What's your hot topic?
My hot topic is, when do you know it's time to leave a relationship? Be it a friend, family member, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. At times, enough is enough. And when do you draw the line? You know, people who get mistreated by their family members, yet they still continue to connect with them, they say, it's family. It's family. You know, we forgive, we forget. I call BS on that one. You know, just because you've known a person for 30 years or have a brother and a sister or a mother or a father, aunt and uncle, and they treat you disrespectfully, doesn't mean that you have to continue the relationship. And who said you did have to continue the relationship? Where is it written? You got to keep on. It doesn't matter the abuse, use, you know, just keep on hanging out with that person. I mean, come on, get some self-respect, walk away until these people treat you with respect and dignity. And this may or may not happen, though, right?
Well, family tradition and social pressure to obey tradition, it's very strong and it's glued into the brains at a young age. And so it's loyalty to a fault when we get to be adults and we have an abusive parent, mother, father, or a sibling, brother, sister, who is abusive to us or our spouse or our children, and we tolerate it. We don't set them straight. We don't separate ourselves from them. We don't exile them when they cross the line repeatedly. So if you are willing to continue putting up with this abuse, then basically you're asking for it, and there's absolutely no way that they're ever going to change. So you being Mr. Nice Guy is never going to lead to them changing. You have to be able to suck it up and be prepared to tolerate this abuse until you die or until they die. That's just the way I see it.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because, I mean, as I'm sure our listeners have had this same thing. I hope not, but betrayal, mistrust, all sorts of different things happen in my life where I've had some really nasty people do nasty things to me. Now, I think, oh my gosh, they handpicked me and why me? But you know what? This is how they treat everybody. It's not just me. I'm not special that they mistreated me. They will treat everybody else the same way down the road. So that made me feel a lot better by knowing that. For some reason, I felt I wasn't picked out as a victim. This is how these people treat everybody. So I don't want anything to do with these people. So you have to be really careful about the relationships that you get into is basically what I'm saying. I mean, it's nice to be around somebody whom you feel good around, who supports you. They might not always agree with what you're doing, but that's okay. But they support you in what you're doing. Not everybody can do the same type of work. So we support people in what they're doing. And, you know, you're there for them when they need you. You don't degrade them. I mean, sometimes you might need to straighten people out. If you have a good friend and they ask for your opinion, you tell them the truth because that's what it's all about. Tell them the truth. But you don't do it hurtfully. So I think it's just, you know when to draw the line. You have to know where are your boundaries. Have some boundaries and know when to draw the line. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, and it don't come easy either. You can be in situations that come up that catch you off guard. And, you know, you and I both experienced that where the opponent, more or less, we'll call them, says something or does something that kind of blows you away at the time, and it kind of leaves you awestruck or with your mouth wide open, and you're going like, wow, what do? I'm kind of pressed between a rock and a hard place. I have to choose between this or that person or whatever. So I think what it does is it you need to actually consider what the moral imperative is for you. And also try and get in touch with the reason why the person who's offending you is doing it. Now, if you approach them and ask them not to, or you reveal how you really feel and they refuse to change, then I think that you really have to move away from that relationship, that it would be healthy and that you would experience more freedom, and that you would realize by doing that, you'd say to yourself, my goodness, I put up with this crap and garbage for so long. Why? It's because I was committed to an ideal which doesn't exist. And that's really what it comes down to. We hold on to these ideals that are fashioned in our mind that are not real. And the reality is that you've got this person in your life who's abusing you or someone in your family, and you can't tolerate that. That's not good for anybody.
Well, very well said there, Dr. Holly.
Right on.
Okay.
Yeah, believe me, you and I both know this by experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, and I can tell people out there that when you do decide to do what's right, it's like an enormous weight will be lifted off your shoulders, and you will realize how oppressed, suppressed, and depressed the entire experience was for you. And that, unfortunately, when we're children, we can't do much about it because we're sort of locked into a home that is dysfunctional and filled with animosity and anger and grief and terrorization of children and all the stuff that goes on in homes. It's absolutely bizarre. This is for an adult. This is when you get out on your own and then you continue to maintain a relationship with mommy and daddy or sister and brother that is incredibly toxic. And it's up to you to make the decision to end the relationship, not them, because they won't. They'll screw you in 18 different ways, and then the next time they see you, they'll pretend like nothing even happened.
Right.
Because that is who they are.
Exactly.
That is what they do.
It's like, don't you remember what just happened? Like, they sweep it under the carpet like it doesn't matter. And I'm like, you really hurt my feelings, or that really destroyed part of my soul by you doing that, right?
Oh, come on. Tracy, you know, get over it.
And I'm, no, I won't get over it. Oh, yeah. So I've had that many, many, many times. So I just go, bye-bye now.
Yeah. I think exile, like Moses was exiled by the Pharaoh in the Old Testament, rather than kill him, the punishment was worse to be exiled. In other words, he was sent out from Egypt. He was never allowed to come back or have any connection whatsoever to anyone in Egypt. So now this is a no harm approach where you can just simply exile the person. You delete them from your phone. You delete them from your Facebook. You delete them from your life. You have no more contact with them at all, ever. It's gone. It's finished. It's like they're dead. Now they're still alive. They're still living their life. So you haven't actually hurt them, but they're not hurting you. You're preventing them from doing what they do best, which is to violate you continuously at every opportunity with their passive-aggressive statements and their commentaries that make you feel less than a human being. Or they do things that like that are financial or that relate to policies in the family that everyone is all agreeable that it's the wrong thing, and yet no one's doing anything about it. You have to take action. You got to be an athlete and take action and do what needs to be done.
Yes, because slowly but surely on a cellular level, it's going to get you.
That's right.
All right.
Good. Okay, so everybody out there, grow up and be a man. Be a man, be a woman. What is your final word?
My final word is by Friedrich Nietzsche. It is not a lack of love, but a lack of friendship that makes unhappy marriages.